If you have a Bible, please turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. I have to make a correction to last week's sermon. Last week I said that people in the UK, they like fruitcake. And I found out this week that not everybody from the UK likes fruitcake. So, just a correction. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. And let's read together. It says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." In this section, we're going to be studying verses 12 through verse 34. And in this passage of Scripture, in fact, throughout the rest of chapter 15, it is well known and well loved by many Christians because it is a chapter about the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. And here we're going to look at this morning three real reasons why it is important that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Now, last week we looked at the gospel, remember? And we saw that the gospel is very simple. Jesus died for our sins, and then he was buried, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead, is what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel message, the good news. And part of that gospel message, it includes the resurrection from the dead, right? Last week we said that's important. And this week we're going to be finding or studying why exactly that is important. Why is it important that Jesus did, in fact, raise from the dead? We're going to be looking at that this morning. So, let's begin here, starting right away in verse 12. Actually, before we do, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word, that it is living and powerful. Please use your word this morning to pierce deep into our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and move again, as we just sang, that you would move in our hearts and move in this congregation, that we might give glory to you. We look to you, Jesus, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Verse 12, it says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead?" There were people, and remember, the Bible is an assortment of documents that men of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, have written. Paul, in this case, was writing to the church, which was at a city called Corinth. And he was writing to this congregation, and he is speaking to them about resurrection. And the first thing he says is that there are some, it has been reported to him, that there are some who say that there is no resurrection from the dead. And I think it's the same in our world today, isn't it? Sad to say, even in the church, even among the clergy, pastors and bishops of certain groups are no longer believing in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Oh, that's just a story. That's absurd. Who has ever seen someone rise from the dead, they would say. And even today there are people, they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And then Paul goes on to say, you know, it was reported there in Corinth, some had believed this. In fact, if you remember in Jesus' day, there was a group called the Sadducees. Do you remember them? The Sadducees, they were a religious group in the time of Jesus. And those Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead either. In fact, they tried to trick Jesus one time. Remember, they asked him a question about if a brother has a wife and his wife should die, or the brother should die, and his other brother marries the wife, which was the custom, and then he should die, and then the other brother, and so on. Whose wife would she be in the resurrection, they said, trying to trick him. And so they didn't believe. They were called Sadducees because they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Sad for them. There were those who didn't believe, and today there are still those who don't believe. But the question we're asking is, why is it important that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? In his body, he was crucified. In his body, he was buried in a real tomb there in Jerusalem. And in his body, he was raised from the dead. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. And here it says some don't believe. It goes on to say in verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. He says, if people don't raise from the dead, that means that Jesus has never raised from the dead. Christ is not risen. And then he says in verse 14, and look at this. This is an important verse. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty, and we are found to be false witnesses of God. Did you hear what Paul said? The resurrection of Jesus is important, first reason this morning, because without it, our faith would be meaningless. Empty. It says here, the preaching. Our preaching would be empty. It says there. That means our preaching would have no power. There would be nothing inside of the message we give. Imagine going to someone and saying, you know, there was a man named Jesus, and all of us have sinned against God, and Jesus died for your sins, and he's still dead. He's still there dead. He said he died, but he's still dead. And now you can have eternal life. You see, the message doesn't sound so good anymore, does it? If Jesus himself cannot raise from the dead, then what guarantee do I have to raise from the dead and have eternal life? How can a dead Savior promise eternal life? And how can a message, a gospel message, we learned last week, that does not contain the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, how can that message have any power to change people's lives? It can't. It's empty. It's like if you're very thirsty and you have a cup full of water and you're going to drink the water, but then you find out there's nothing in the cup. What good is it going to do you? It's empty. It doesn't do anything for you, for me. And so it's important because our faith and our preaching would be powerless. It goes on to say in verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That word futile, here in my translation, in other translations it may say vain, it's in vain. But it says futile there. And that word, it really means worthless, meaningless. It has no real substance. It's like some examples I wrote down here. It's like building a house on sand. It would be futile for us to build a house on sand. Why? Because the house will fall down. Remember the story? When the rain came down and the flood came up, and then the house fell down because it was on the sand. That would be futile to build our house on sand. Worthless, meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. How many have ever caught the wind? Nobody. You can't catch the wind. You can chase it, but you'll never catch it. So it would be futile for you, for me, to chase the wind. We'll never catch it. How about this? Shooting at the stars. If you have a gun, maybe a bow, maybe something you shoot. You're shooting at the stars. Will you ever hit them? No. You're wasting ammunition, we would say, if you're shooting. It's futile. It's meaningless. It has no purpose. One more here. How about pursuing one's own shadow? Trying to catch your shadow. You know, if the sun is here and you turn around, you know, you can't catch it. You can run. You'll never catch it. You know, here's a funny story. While I was growing up, we had a dog, Ambois. We had a dog. And this dog was so funny because you could get one of these torches. We call it a flashlight where I'm from. You could get a torch and you could shine a light on the ground at nighttime, right? And the dog would think that it was something to eat or something to catch. And so you could do the light on the ground like this and the dog would run back and forth. You could put it over on the wall and the dog would run into the wall trying to chase this thing. And we could do that for hours and it was so funny. And that dog was chasing in vain. It was futile for him to chase because it was nothing. It had no meaning. It had no substance. It wasn't a piece of food. It was just a light. The same thing is true. Listen this morning. The same thing is true about our faith. Those of us who are Christians this morning, those of us who are saved, who have been born again, those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ, our faith would be futile, meaningless, if he did not raise from the dead. If Jesus Christ, and listen to me, if Jesus did not raise from the dead 2,000 years ago, if he did not raise from the dead, then we might as well all get up and go out of the door and go home and never come back again. That's the importance of the resurrection. Without it, Paul says, our faith is meaningless. You might as well try to catch your own shadow, or shoot at the stars, or build a house on sand. You're wasting your time if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, is what he's saying, really. And then he says this, very important, and we would still be in our sins. That's what he says. You know, I think one of the greatest things about Jesus is that by his grace, by his sacrifice for us, we can now be forgiven of our sins. Isn't that the good thing about Christianity? We can be restored into a relationship with God because before Jesus died for us, our sins had separated us from God. But because Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, they can be removed and we can be brought to God. We can be in heaven with him forever. But if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we are still in our sins. That's serious, isn't it? Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, is it important this morning? Yes. If he never raised from the dead, our faith would be meaningless and we would still be in our sins, looking forward to nothing but God's judgment upon us. And so it is important. In fact, the Bible says, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says that Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses, talking about the cross, and he was raised because of our justification. The resurrection there, in Romans chapter 4, he was delivered up, he died for our offenses, for our sins, and he was raised up for our justification. That means the resurrection from the dead is a very essential part of salvation. It has to be there, or there is no salvation. That's important. Romans chapter 8, verse 33 through 34 say this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. You take the resurrection out of that sentence, and you don't have very much, do you? Christ died, yes, but he is also risen. And not only that, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and every single day he is praying for us there. Without him there, let me tell you something, I wouldn't be here. Without him there, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't even be in church. I wouldn't even be a Christian. Because daily Jesus is saying, Father, please keep Brian. Bring him to glory. Bring him to us. Daily he is working on my behalf because he raised from the dead. He resurrected. That's why he's there. And so, yes, it's important. Without the resurrection, our faith would be meaningless. We might as well go home, not be Christians, not be saved. Number two, the reason this morning the resurrection of Jesus is important, because it assures us of our future resurrection and life with him. It gives us assurance that we will be raised from the dead. That's good news this morning, isn't it? The gospel, good news. Let's look together in verse 20. It says, But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That verse there is talking about fruits, right? The first fruits. And some of us may be familiar with farming, agriculture. You know, you plant a crop of maize, right? You have a large field, maybe you have a small place, but you're planting maize, and you have to wait for some time, right? And after some time, you start to see these nice pieces of maize there, and then it comes time for what's called a harvest, right? Where you go through and you pick out all of the maize that has been growing. Well, there in the Old Testament, the Jews also had the same system. They would plant, and then at a certain time, they would harvest. And when they would harvest, the first thing they would do is they would go in and they would get a sheaf of wheat, okay, there from their harvest. And they would bring it into the temple, and it would be an offering to the Lord. And it was called the first fruits of the harvest. The very first piece of wheat, the very first piece of maize, they would bring it in, and it would be the first fruits of the harvest. And what that was, that first fruits, it was a guarantee that there was going to be a great harvest. It was the first one. And they would look at that, and they would thank the Lord, and they would give an offering of praise for that. And then, after a few more days, they would have a harvest. They would harvest the rest. Because the first fruits guaranteed, they could look at it and say, because that is there, we know more is coming. And Jesus, it says here, is the first fruits of the resurrection. What does that mean? That means because he rose from the dead, there is going to be a harvest. Do you know what the harvest is going to be made of? Us, who are Christians. Because he rose from the dead, I know that I am going to rise from the dead. That's why we're going to look next week at how death has lost its sting. Death no longer has dominion over us. Because Jesus Christ has set us free. Because he raised from the dead. And he said this. In John chapter 14, verse 19, when he was still on earth, he was talking about his death. And he said, A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. That's what Jesus said. He prophesied about his death and about his resurrection. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and then he'll raise up. And he said there in John chapter 14, because I live, because I will be raised up, you will live also. We have a hope. You know, many people in the world today, they're living life like they have to eat and drink and be merry for tomorrow they die. Right? They have no hope. They don't know what happens after they die. People have guessed. There are different religions that attempt to give an answer. But no one really knows what happens after they die. They just live this life, and at the end, well, that's the end. But it's different for us, isn't it? Because Jesus Christ died already. He died. He was a human, just like we are. He was a man. And he died, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he ever lives to make intercession. He's alive today. Do you know what the Bible says right here? He's the first fruits, and I know that because he lives, I'm going to live again. Jesus said after the resurrection of Lazarus, it's one of the girls there, I think it was Martha, it may have been Mary, not exactly sure. But he said, he who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's what he said. This question is still good today. He who believes in me will never die. Does that mean we'll never die physically? No. It means after we die, we will raise from the dead and we will live forever. That's the message we have as Christians. And I guarantee you, you will not find that message anywhere else. The message of life. The message of the resurrection. It is a guarantee for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, we'll be looking at it next week, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I love that verse. I love it because the trumpet will sound, the Lord will come back, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That means they will never get sick again, they will never feel tired, and they will never die. And it says there that we shall be changed. Our bodies will be changed. Perfect bodies. Perfect throughout eternity. It's good news this morning. It goes on to say here in verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Here in these verses, it's talking about two men, right? Two men are there. One man's name is Adam. The other man's name is Jesus. And it says here, and this is also taught, you can look it up when you get home, Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Talking about Adam, it says, in Adam, all die. Do you know the reason why we get sick and die today? It's because sin entered the world through Adam, the first man. You remember in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord said to Adam and Eve, do not eat of that fruit, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Through one man, death entered the world, it says in Romans chapter 5. And so Adam, all will receive death through Adam, but another man entered. A man. Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus is and will always be God eternal? The Son of God. Jesus is God. But there is something else. Jesus was born of an actual woman, the Virgin Mary. And he was also a man. And because he was a man, he was able to guarantee for us people, humans, that we can be raised from the dead just like he was. For by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, for all have sinned. But it says here that through one man all shall be made alive. It's Jesus, the work that he did. He's a guarantee. He was a man, just like me, a human being. He rose from the dead, and because of him, I can have life. Romans chapter 5, you can look it up later. And then it goes on to say, verse 24, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. This is a bit confusing in this, these few verses here. It's funny, yesterday I was talking with Josh, and I said, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's some tough stuff in there. In the Bible, and the Bible college students who are here this morning, they'll like this. But in the Bible, there are things that are considered to be milk, like you're eating, right? Spiritual food is coming out. Some things are like milk, very easy to take, even small babies. The gospel, even, it's simple. A child can understand. And it also says that in the Bible there are certain things that are like meat. Right? Some things are like milk, some things are like meat. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we go here, we may have Luombo with Josh, we may have some of these things. But sometimes I get a nice piece of meat and it's very tender and soft, it's very easy to take. Right? But sometimes you get an old cow. An old cow. And the meat is very difficult. In fact, you have to chew it for some time. Very tough. Very hard to consume. And the Bible is just the same way. Did you know that? There are some things, for me as a preacher, I just love, and it's so good, and I look forward to it. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's easy. Just love. Love one another. And this is love and all these things. Love, and it's good. But then we come to chapter 15, and you know, it's so long. It's 58 verses, and you're reading through there and you're thinking, what does this mean? It's like you've gotten the old cow and you're chewing and chewing. So this morning, meat. What it is saying here in these verses is that actually it's talking about the future. The future. Today we look around the world and we see sin and problems and famine and death and terrible dictators and terrorism and wars. And all of these things, we look around the world and we think this world is not a very godly place. Right? Let's be honest. In our cities, corruption is coming up. Pornography. These things. And the world doesn't look very good today. But what these verses are saying is that in the future, the world will be under the subjection and rule of Jesus Christ. He will bring all things under His authority. That means there will be no more Red Pepper magazine. That means there will be no more trouble, violence, wars, famine, nothing. Everything will be, the Bible says, righteous, good, and perfect. And so it's saying here that in the end, the kingdom will be under the authority of Jesus Christ, and He under God the Father. And the good news for us is, and the reason, back to our subject, that the resurrection is important is because we are assured to have a part in that future kingdom. That future kingdom. Did you know Jesus is going to come and He's going to rule and reign on this earth? The Bible teaches it. And we will have a part in that. We will have we will be ruling and reigning with Him, the Bible says. And that is important because of the resurrection. He is alive and He is able to one day take control. He is an authority, but one day He will have it totally in this world. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 says, He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father. Speaking of the day when Jesus Christ will rule on this earth. I like this one word in here before we move on in this chapter, or these verses about the kingdom, and it says, It says in verse 25, "For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." That word must, that means it has to be. It cannot be any other way. He must reign. It's not like a vote. How many people in the world want to vote for Jesus? And then they take a vote. And how many people want to vote for Museveni? They take a vote. How many people want to vote for Muhammad? Take a vote. In fact, you can't vote for Muhammad because he is dead. Jesus is alive. But there's not going to be a vote. He must reign, it says here. And that's good news for me, because do you know what? I hate the way that things are going in this world. They are getting worse and worse and worse. But don't lose hope. You know, sometimes as a Christian, I can think, this city, and even in America, some of the cities that I've lived in, and just corruption and violence and problems, I think, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And you can easily lose hope. You can easily think, Lord, is it ever going to change? These verses right here say it must change. It will. It will happen. And the Lord Jesus Christ will rule. The Bible says this, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's what the Bible says. It must happen. It will happen. Finally, this morning, why is the resurrection of Jesus important? Why is it important that we believe in His resurrection? Why is it important that He raised from the dead? The resurrection of Jesus is important because it gives meaning to our lives. It gives meaning to our lives. You know, there are people in the world today, and everybody is looking for meaning. You've maybe heard it. I've heard it before. What is the meaning of life? Right? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose for my existence? What should I be living for? And sadly, for the most part, the world doesn't know. Some people think the meaning of life is found in going to the university and having a good job and making a lot of money and having a nice house and a car. Right? Especially here, I know it. I've talked to people. If I can have a good job and a good house and a good car and maybe a good wife, then my life, I'll have satisfaction. I'll be satisfied. Oh. And the problem is, people get a university degree. They get a good job that pays a lot of money. They are able to buy a nice house. They are able to buy a nice car. They have a family. And at the end of all that, do you know what they think? I'm still not satisfied. There's still something missing. What is the meaning? What is the purpose for my existence? You know, money is the big thing, isn't it? If I only had money. I hear it on the streets. Sente, sente, sente. Njigala sente. I want money. And in fact, I've told it before. One day I couldn't forget it. I was driving on the back of a Boda Boda. I said, "Man, how are you?" Or he said, "How are you?" I said, "Fine, how are you?" He said, "Not fine." I said, "Not fine, why? What's the problem?" He says, "Oh, I don't have any money." I thought, "Oh, sorry." You see, his life was, it was either good if he had money or bad if he had no money. And his hope, maybe. I don't know his heart. I just talked with him 1 minute. And he was thinking, and like so many people think, not just here in Kampala, everywhere around the world. People think, if I only had a lot of money, then I would be happy. The problem is, people make a lot of money and they are still not happy. In fact, the suicide rate, that means people who kill themselves, the suicide rate among the wealthy is higher than it is among those who are poor. Because they get to the top, they have millions of dollars, and they are still just as unhappy as they were when they were on the streets. Money will not bring fulfillment, meaning to our lives. Popularity, how about that? If only people liked me, thought I was neat, thought I dressed smartly, have money, all these things, then I'll have meaning in my life. It's not true. There's a man. He's a famous movie star in Hollywood, California, and his name is Jim Carrey. He's one of these guys that makes jokes all of the times in his movies. And he's very funny, and always he's happy, you know, and his, if you watch the film, he's always happy and smiling and stuff. He was actually interviewed one time and said, "Mr. Carrey, you have more money than most people." Millions and millions of dollars from his movie sales, his films. And people like you more than they do almost anybody. You're so popular. If he was to come, you know, someplace, more popular than Gaetano. Man, that guy. You're so popular. And do you know what he said to them? He said, "To be honest with you, I feel like I'm the most miserable person in all of the world." He was the saddest, most miserable person within himself than anybody else. He had money. He had popularity. He had fame. Everybody knew about him. He was living large, as they say. But he was still empty. There was no meaning in his life. Because only through Jesus Christ is there meaning. And Jesus can only give us meaning if He is an actual Savior. And He has to have been resurrected from the dead to be a Savior to anybody. The resurrection from the dead is important because it gives us purpose and meaning for our life. Paul says in verse 29, "Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead?" Just a few minutes on this verse. Very difficult and confusing verse. I've heard there are actually over 30 interpretations for this single verse. And what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church is he's saying, if there is no resurrection from the dead, that's the point he's trying to make. Jesus rose from the dead because there's a resurrection. And he is referring to a practice that was done maybe among the church there, but probably among pagans. Because he says, "Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized from the dead?" And he says in verse 30, "Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour?" So he's making a distinction between them and us, Christians and none. Apparently, there was a practice of being baptized for the dead. And a living person would be baptized for the good of someone who, a dead relative or something. Today it's practiced in the Mormon Church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They baptize people for the dead. And this is one of their verses, though Paul neither condones it or says anything really about it. And so that must have been a practice that was done in the city, and he's just using it as an argument. Why do they baptize for the dead? And they probably had participated, the Corinthians. And why do they do that? Why do you do that if there's no resurrection? It would be pointless, this certain practice, whatever it was done. Obviously, from scriptures, it's not a practice to be done in the church today. We baptize for ourselves. We're saved for ourselves. You can't be baptized or have faith for somebody else. But in verse 30, we continue on with our third point, because it gives meaning to our lives. Paul says, "Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour?" And he says, "I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die." He says here, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives meaning to my life, and the argument he uses is, I have been suffering for Jesus. I have been persecuted for Jesus Christ. You know, some of us, we have a class here at Calvary Chapel Bible College, and it's the history of the church, church history. And we've been studying in church history about persecution in the church. How Christians are tortured and put to death just because they believe in Jesus. It's still happening today. It's been said on the continent of Africa alone in the 20th century, over 1 million people have died for their faith in Jesus. In this last century, last 100 years, something like 1.5 million in Africa alone, the continent. And Paul is saying here, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then why am I suffering every day? He said that, didn't he? He said, I die daily. That means these things that come upon me, I would not have them if Jesus was not raised from the dead. They would not have any purpose. Why would he suffer for someone who is dead? That's the point that he's making. He says he fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, verse 32, whether that's actual animals or not. May have been terrible men whom he called beasts. But in any case, we know the story about Paul, don't we? There, he talks about how he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was whipped 40 times minus one. Three times that happened to him. And he suffered. He said in one point, he bears the marks of Christ on his body. Meaning, he could take his shirt off and show you his back, and it was cut apart. Scars all over. From where he was beaten just because he believed in Christ. And the point he is making is this. That is all worth it. Because I know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and I know that I am going to rise from the dead. Bring it on, he said. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, is what he said in the book of Acts. Remember the prophet. You're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to be beaten and bound there in Jerusalem. And he said, I'm going anyways. It doesn't even faze me. It doesn't even move me. I don't even count my life dear to myself that I may attain him. Jesus is worth it. Are you suffering today? Are you having trouble in your family because you're saved? Because you're a Christian? It's worth it. The Apostle Paul, I guarantee, he had more trouble than we did, than we do, than you do. And all of these things, it's all worth it. That means our life has meaning. Even if our life is filled with trouble, one day we are going to rise from the dead and there will be no more tears, the Bible says. No more tears. No more sickness. No more nighttime. And the Bible says the Lord himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Is it worth it? Are the sufferings worth it? Yes, they are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, this is the same Apostle Paul writing here. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He's speaking about the resurrection. Read the context when you get home. He says this, I am convinced, fully persuaded, that the suffering I am facing today, and believe me, he was suffering. He suffered. The suffering that we face today is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That means you can't even compare the goodness that we are going to see to the badness we face here. You can't even, they're not even on the same level. You think it's bad here, he's saying? You think you're having a trouble? You're having a hard time? You may be, but don't worry. It doesn't even compare with the glory. Do we have meaning in our lives today? Yes. Do we have purpose in our life? Yes. Is there purpose in suffering? Yes, there is. And finally, this morning, there is purpose in suffering and there is reason to flee, to run away from evil company and sin. Look what it says in verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness, verse 34, and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul is saying this, there is a resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. Our faith is not meaningless. Our faith is not futile, he says. He said the resurrection of Jesus is important because of our future hope and life with him. A kingdom where he will rule and reign in righteousness. We will be there. It's important because of that. And then he says the resurrection of Jesus is important because it gives meaning to our lives. And because Jesus rose from the dead, because we are Christians, we should flee evil. It's like a pig, a hog. You know, you can bring these pigs out of the mud. You know, they roll in the dirt and these trash and all this. You can bring them out, you can wash them and clean them and put some nice smelling perfume on them, some soap on. Maybe put a little bow tie on. Maybe you can bring them to your place and you can, you know, if you're having some dinner there, you can have the pig there with you nice and clean. But do you know what will happen as soon as you look away from that thing, that pig? It will open the door and run out and go into the mud. It doesn't matter how clean you've made it. It will go right back there. And in fact, the Bible compares that to a lot of Christians. We've been cleaned up. We are made a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. The Holy Spirit has come into us. We are being washed by the water of the Word, the Bible says. And here Paul is saying there's a resurrection, there's a hope, we have meaning in our lives, our faith is not worthless, there's a future. Saying all these things, and then he says, awake to righteousness. Live like someone who is going to raise from the dead. Don't live like everybody else. Don't do the same things everybody else is doing. I'm speaking to myself, all of us. That's what it says here. Awake to righteousness. And that statement, it actually refers to someone who has been drunk and has fallen asleep, and in the morning someone is shaking them. Wake up! Wake up! Stop doing those things and start living for God. I asked us in the beginning, do we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? A lot of us said yes. Amen, we do. And Paul is saying here, to all of us, then awake to righteousness. Live like there is a resurrection from the dead. So this morning, as we conclude, I hope that through these scriptures we are convinced that there is a resurrection and that the resurrection is important of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I also hope that and pray that the Lord will meet each one of us where we are. And that he'll do a great work in our lives. Because I'll be honest with you, we all need to grow in our relationship with the Lord. There are things in our lives that we need to take away, put away. Maybe friends, maybe habits, these things. Evil company corrupts good habits. Who is it that you're spending time with? And I pray that the Lord would speak to each one of us this morning. Amen. Why don't we stand together?